You're listening to a Davenport After Dark podcast. Tune in every Thursday night at 10 o'clock on News Talk 106 to 108.
As we were saying, New York City Council has introduced a bill that's going to raise the legal age at which you can buy cigarettes to 21. Mayor Michael Bloomberg is all for it, maybe because he's 71, and also because he thinks it'll stop the tobacco companies from getting their grips into young people and turning them into addicts. I mean, sorry, customers. But is it something that we should introduce here, given that when they introduced the no smoking ban in pubs and all the rest of it in 2003, it was around the same year that we did it. So certainly what happens in places like America or indeed in Australia, we're going to take a look at and see if it's worth applying in our own case. And we're joined on the line by Professor Luke Clancy, who's the director of the Tobacco Free Research Institute, and also by John Mallon, who's a spokesperson for Forest Air. And gentlemen, you're very welcome to the programme.
Good evening.
Professor Clancy, perhaps starts with you. Do you think it would be a good idea to raise the legal age at which you can buy smokes to 21?
Well, where I come from, obviously, access to tobacco is a bad thing. And we do know that if you don't start smoking in your teens, you probably won't smoke. So it would be good that children didn't get cigarettes. Yeah. However, we do have a law, and we're kind of fairly advanced, as you know, in most tobacco control initiatives. And in Ireland, it's 18 years.
Yeah.
But you may have seen the publicity around the fact that despite that, it's not difficult for children to buy cigarettes.
No, no, it isn't. However, but just to give a number to the statistic you're talking about, in the US, they're saying 88% of people surveyed started smoking by the age of 18, according to a report. So it kind of lends credence to your suggestion that if you kind of get past, if you kind of get into adulthood, chances are you're not going to start smoking.
Yeah, that's right. It's probably even a bit higher here, and there's another year, so 19. They say in your teens. So people of 21 and higher, only about 5 to 10% of them start at that stage. But the point I was trying to make is that implementing the law we have would be a good start.
Right. Okay, John Mallon, you're a spokesperson for Forest Éireann. Do
yes.
you see the logic in that? And again, it's I think the compelling evidence is that if the vast majority of smokers start smoking before they're 18, or in the case of Ireland, 19, is it not wise to stop them from smoking so that, I mean, as adults, they can make any decision they want, but that the chances are they won't start smoking once they turn a certain age?
Well, you're absolutely right on the mark there. As adults, they have freedom of choice. We say that you can vote at 18, you can join the Guard of the Sia Con at 18, you can join the army at 18, you can drive a car, a motorcycle, a large motorcycle at 18. Really, what we're saying there is at 18, you've turned an age where you should be an adult and take responsibility for your own actions.
None of which, though, all those examples you give, none of them have inherent detrimental effect on your health.
Well, you can buy alcohol.
That's
when you're
true.
18. But that really isn't the argument. Professor Clancy's right in one thing. I would believe that peer pressure is what starts the youth smoking, and that has to be tackled. And regardless of what law you put in, you're going to have smugglers, more in evidence even today than shops, who will sell them the cigarettes cheaper and couldn't give a damn if they're 2 years of age. So that really is the battlefield, not something like they're doing in New York. New York is just one city in a large country. I don't think we should be looking there for inspiration. The other thing, of course, is attempting to enforce all these laws and restrictions that are brought in. It puts a terrible weight on the Gardaí, who are already terribly stretched. I think we should be looking at laws that are absolutely essential for our country, and I don't believe this is one.
Well, if we're not to be looking at a city like New York, should we be looking at a country like Australia, which recently introduced very, very strict regulations on how you advertise cigarettes, so much so that now all cigarettes, irrespective of the brand, have to be sold in the same plain packaging?
Well, you could look at the UK tonight, who were toying with the idea of introducing that over there, and they've dropped it. You can look at more progressive countries like the Netherlands, who allow smoking indoors in certain areas. You know, depending on where you look at, I don't think Professor Clancy and I will ever agree on this matter, although we may agree on much else. I would be just for the freedom. I would be there to say there's good and evil in life, like the internet, for example, like radio. There's good and evil there. You make your responsible choices for yourself. Some of us make good decisions a lot of the time and some bad decisions, but we have to have the right to make good and bad decisions for ourselves. That's taking control of our own lives and being responsible.
But I suppose this week we were told that there was that 4,000 deaths have been prevented because of the smoking ban being introduced. So that's 4,000 people who are alive because their freedom to smoke in a pub was curtailed. Surely that curtailment of freedom has worked out well.
Well, Professor Clancy was one of the authors of that exhaustive research indeed. But one thing I noted in it was he had a graph from 1972 to the present day, and it showed a steady decline in all of the illnesses that he mentioned, all four illnesses that he mentioned. There was a steady decline. And in fact, the decline tended to taper off after 2004 when the ban and the start of the restrictions came in. I think maybe better medical interventions, more health awareness in the population, and perhaps more outdoor lifestyle might be better contributing factors to that. I wouldn't accept at all that it was 4,000 prevented deaths due just to the lack of passive smoking.
Professor Clancy, do you want to respond to that?
Well, not really. It's rubbish. But if you go back to your main thing and this other notion that what we have, the battleground is smuggling. The battleground is not smuggling. The battleground is the tobacco industry, who ensnare our children and make addicts of them and make huge profits, which are exported, the money is exported out of this country to multinationals. That's where the battleground is. It's very handy to say, oh, about smuggling. The figures for smuggling that Mr. Forrest is likely to mention are ones supplied by the industry, sometimes in collaboration with our own authorities, which, of course, as you probably know, is against the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control that this country is a party to. And the data that we have on smuggling is quite different from what they have. And if you take your medical advice from that you've just heard, you'd be very foolish. What the research showed was, yes, of course, there was a decline. And we are proud of the changes that have occurred in our health system and in health in general. What the study was doing was saying all of those things are accounted for. And yet we have this reduction in deaths. He may not accept it. He knows nothing about it. It has been tested by the best scientific statistical people in the world. This is not an Irish study alone, and it was not assessed by Irish. It was peer-reviewed by renowned statisticians in the world. And for him to have the audacity to come along and say, I don't accept. Now, he's free to do what he likes, but to come on national radio and say something as stupid and ridiculous and found ground without any foundation is just nonsense. And I'm getting a bit sick of listening to that notion that somebody can come on after work that has been vindicated all over the world and say it's not true. And the thing about progressive countries like the Netherlands, there's nothing progressive about the Netherlands' attitude to tobacco. And it's well known that they're complicit with the industry and that their politicians are. At least ours seem to be free of that tainting, in general, not all of them, but most of them. We have a very good record on it, and we have the best record on smoke-free. And our law is very comprehensive, has worked exceptionally well, and the research that we reported recently is valid and has been validated. Now, there are other things to be done about smoking. One of them is price. Yes, we have dear cigarettes, but it's the rate of rise that matters. And during when the ban was brought in, unfortunately, after it, the Minister for Health at the time, Minister Harney, did not make any substantial price rise. So, unfortunately as well, the prevalence of smoking after the introduction of the smoking ban did not fall. Nor was that why it was brought in, as you will well know. It was brought in to protect people from secondhand smoke.
Yes, it was.
It did that, and we have the results published recently.
Okay. Professor Clancy, I think it's only fair to give John Mallon the right to reply here. He very forcefully dismissed your dismissal of his original point. So I'm wondering, John, what you have to say to that.
quite simply, I think that tobacco control industry has just turned into a political machine. It's all about propaganda. I genuinely
believe... Aren't they charges that are levelled against the tobacco companies?
Well, absolutely. Of course they're levelled against... But I'm not here talking on behalf of the tobacco companies. I'm here talking on behalf of the poor, humble smoker in the street...
Rubbish.
..who pays the most expensive price for tobacco anywhere in Europe. That's who I'm representing.
Self-appointed.
And I'm one of them myself. And as Professor Clancy will know, long before I had any association with Forrest, I was writing on my own... to the newspapers, and we started going on radio when Forrest came on board and said, look, if there's any expenses or out-of-pocket expenses, we'll pay them for you. And I don't apologise to anybody for that.
Okay, Professor Clancy, one point I did want to put to you is that I think most of us agree on the dangers of secondhand smoke, primary smoke, that addiction to cigarettes is not a good thing. However, there is a broader philosophical point, is that people are entitled to make up their own minds, that the nanny state... It's an uncomfortable place where the state all of a sudden feels it has to interfere in the activities of people right down to how they, you know, if they want to damage their health by eating bad food or drinking themselves stupid, then it's, you know, it might be unfortunate, but it's up to them.
Well, that's a point that's often made. It has limitations, however, because we're dealing with an addictive substance here. And the state, in generally in addictive substances, intervenes. The anomaly is that tobacco is a freely available legal substance, despite the fact that it kills half of the people who use it, that the misery before death is enormous, that the costs involved are enormous. Society has also probably got rights to protect itself. You know, the right of the individual is not supreme, and it has to be measured. We often give up our rights for the good of mankind and for the good of our fellow man as well as ourselves. And this is, you know, the right, for instance, to use your telephone in your car, the right not to wear a seatbelt. These are things. But cigarettes are unique because all of these things, you know, there may be some good in them, but there is nothing good about cigarettes. They're harmful. They're addictive. They cost money. They waste money on the individual and on society. They are the main cause of health inequality in this country. And yet we see billions of money, euro, going out of the country to multinationals who are addicting and enslaving our children and killing half of the people who use their product. Why that product is legal is a historic fact. When it was not known that it was lethal.
But
the industry, you know, this self-choice that people have, really, they don't have it. You don't have it when you're dealing with an addictive product that has been sold freely and that was encouraged until recently. And the reason that advertising is banned, because we know that the substance is bad, and the fact that the industry got away with so long addicting people and telling them it was a habit and it was good for them and it was joyful and it was this and it was that, whereas in fact it was addictive and killing them. And plain packaging is a way to go, and it will happen. And England may do what they like, but this country has a very good record on tobacco control, and anybody who's coming along pretending that they're speaking for smokers, if they asked them to do it, I didn't know about it. And the smokers, 75% or 80% of smokers want to stop. Anything that the government can do to help that is good. And in that regard, I would think the government could do a lot more, not only with price, but with giving good smoking cessation services. There are good treatments available. They should become accessible by the people who want them. People who are being impoverished in this terrible time of financial restriction.
Professor Clancy, it used to be, say, 16 to buy cigarettes, now 18. You're arguing, saying that New York, to strengthen the argument, to increase to 21. Like, you're talking about curtailment of rights. Where do you draw the line? Sure, are you ultimately... Is the extension of your argument what they're looking at in Australia and essentially looking to ban the sale of cigarettes at some stage in the future?
Well, it's bizarre that it is legal, but the reason it's legal is that it is such a common practice. It would not be practical to ban cigarettes at this time. The most ambitious country in that way at the moment is Finland, who plan to be free from this scourge by 2040. We don't have a date set. But I do know that the present minister is very anxious to do everything that he possibly can. And the sooner he does more, the better. And should include proper cessation services and the banning of smoking in cars.
John Mallon, Professor Clancy's referring to the Finns, and the Australians have also mooted the possibility of a generational ban on cigarettes. So, for instance, anyone born after the year 2000, for instance, even if they were to reach the legal age at which all other people born before the year 2000 can buy cigarettes, they will be prohibited from buying cigarettes.
Yeah. Well, like everything else, in reality, what happens then is that you drive the thing underground and it becomes far more popular. This is creeping prohibition, is really what Dr. Clancy's talking about. And we've seen what happens with prohibition. I think the reality, and he would know this, is that the rates of smoking were falling year on year up to the smoking ban. Indeed, the year after 2005, the Office of Tobacco Control quoted that at 23.5%. It's been stubbornly at 29%. Indeed, Eurostat said now that the rate of smoking in Ireland is 31%. And it's been driven underground. And you know, with the restrictions, you're sort of forced to pick the time when you want to smoke. But they haven't changed anything. If anything, cigarettes are just constantly in the news, whereas they were something that were becoming less popular. And I imagine left alone would have just faded out completely.
All right, OK.
Imagination is not enough. They would not have faded out completely.
All right, listen.
The industry would make sure of that, and they'd make sure that they killed as many people as possible and made as much money as possible.
All right, OK, listen, we're going to have to leave it there. Professor Luke Clancy, Director of the Tobacco Free Research Institute, and John Mallon, spokesperson for Forest Éireann. Thank you both very much for talking to us this evening. That was a Davenport After Dark podcast, live every Thursday night at 10 p.m. on News Talk 106 to 108 FM.